Hello and welcome to Brewskies and House Keys. I am Nicole Kostelecki.
And I'm Nick Papantanakis.
And we are here at Remax Alliance in Old Town, Arvada. And it is hot.
It's hot. But we're back.
But we're back.
After a hiatus. Wasn't a planned hiatus. Maybe this is the start of season two.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll call it that. I don't know.
We're just busy with summer and buyers and sellers.
And life. Yeah.
And life.
All kinds of, I mean, we need to catch up on a ton, and we probably could talk for a few hours on what all has been going on. But let's hear it. What have you been up to?
Obviously golfing and working, and went up to South Dakota for the 4th of July.
Oh, nice.
That was awesome.
Do you guys do like a big fireworks shebang?
We went into, they don't really let you inside the like national park area.
That makes sense.
Which is unfortunate because they used to do great fireworks at Mount Rushmore. So I'm hoping that comes back here real soon.
You think it's just a weather thing?
Or? No, it's a federal land thing. Anyways.
Shenanigans.
But we went into Rapid City, which is like probably the biggest town near where my parents are. And, it was great.
It's very rapid.
Rapid.
You can't even keep up sometimes.
Yep. The rivers have lots of rapids. Just kidding. I don't.
I believed it. I was buying it. I was like, oh, yes, it must be true. But Nicole says it.
Yeah. But that was, it was very fun.
Sweet.
How about you?
Nicole and I saw each other in the wild because we ran into each other at a golf course. Mm-hmm. I was there with Jane doing a little day at the range. And ran into Nicole. It was such a lovely surprise.
Yeah.
So golfing a little.
Yep. How's Jane liking it?
She's liking it a lot. We're going to the range, I think, either this afternoon or tomorrow again. I think she's into it. The heat, she's not as into. So it's been, for those of you listening, and most of you that listen are close by, it has been obnoxiously hot the last few days.
I am not complaining. I said I wouldn't because I did a little bit earlier. But I'd take this over the rain that we were getting all June.
I don't know.
No?
I kind of like the rain.
I hated the rain.
My grass liked the rain. I liked the rain. It kept it cool in my house. We were just talking about this.
The weeds liked the rain.
That's true. We were just talking about this before we started recording. We both live in, you know, brick ranch style homes. Yours is
mine's not brick.
Not brick.
It's just siding. But
so,
yeah.
But mine is like a little brick oven. And so in the heat, it's just obnoxiously hot in our home, and we don't have AC, so that's our own fault. But you know, that cooler weather with the rain was glorious. Slept like
that was nice for sleeping, but that's about it. Not for playing.
Yeah,
which
that's true.
I enjoy more.
That's true.
It can rain from 10 p.m. to 4 a.m.
Yes,
I would take that in a heartbeat.
That's allowed.
That's perfect.
Even like an afternoon thunderstorm, that's okay too.
Yeah.
But it's just when it was raining all day.
That's true.
For
it was
4 days.
Depressing.
It's like, what are we supposed to do?
Yeah.
Twiddle. I like the heat. It's just managing the heat is being troublesome lately.
Which we the people of Remax Alliance, Old Town Arvada, are experiencing because our Nico has been spearheading the lack of air conditioning here. Our AC went out when? How long has it been now?
Oh, no, I don't think
too
we
long
should
ago.
Even say.
And so we're in here. We look poised and professional, but underneath
it's
these
very
clothes.
Hot.
Oh, so, so sweaty.
Good thing this not
smell-o-vision. Yeah, that's true, actually. We haven't done that yet. Outside of that, we've had a ton of festivals in Old Town, and I've been here for a lot of those. Second Saturday, this last weekend, for those of you that are keeping track, was the July 2nd Saturday. It was really fun.
For some reason, I thought it was this weekend.
I know, but it just lined up because the first day of July was Saturday. So it was really fun. We had more people stop by our booth than I think we ever had.
Nice.
So it was really cool to just talk to a bunch of people. Some people that are here for every festival. Some people that I met a realtor from Keller Williams who lives in Brighton who had never been to Old Town Arvada for anything.
What?
And she chose Second Saturday Festival to make it her first time here. She was like, this is incredible. I was like, well, move on over because it's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
But the very important thing about Second Saturday, probably the most important thing, was the number of Brewskis and Housekeys bottle openers that were given out.
Yay!
I'm pretty sure we maybe only have a few left. I'm not kidding. People Loved the bottle openers. So nice. Thank you for those of you that are maybe listening now for the first time because you got a bottle opener and you're plugged into the podcast. But yeah, it was awesome, to see that, just that much activity down there. And it was cool enough that night. It wasn't crazy hot. So that was another thing that was wonderful.
Yeah.
Good. Hometown throws some good parties.
Yeah, we do.
Tell you what.
We really do. Come on down.
One last note I have to say. I'm sorry. And then we can move on.
Okay.
This last Sunday, my beautiful child turned 8 years old.
Oh, happy birthday, Jane.
And it slightly breaks my heart because she's a little girl now. She's like, she's very, I don't know. She's so smart.
She's mature.
And it really.
She is mature.
It's wonderful because I don't want an immature nut bar for a kid. But also, it feels like it's going too fast. And it makes me sad. So it's a good sad. It's not a bad sad. did I break you with that one?
Ain't no one want that.
Nobody wants an immature nut bar for a kid. I'm glad. I'm glad I can still make you laugh, Nico.
That's good. Good stuff.
So anyway, that's been the busyness far, and summer's only half through. So
yeah.
I mean,
so much other stuff to talk about, but we'll jump in.
Yep.
I think, to Brewskis and House Keys. So we are drinking today Dry Dock Brewing, which is out of Aurora, Colorado. And I am drinking the Apricot Blonde, which has always been one of my favorites.
I feel like it's one of their flagship beers, right?
It is, yeah, definitely. It's very refreshing, has good flavor, good like ending notes. I like the apricot flavor. I like the fruity beers.
But it's not, that one's not like fruity. Like if you don't like fruity beers, you go, ugh, this is too much.
No, it's light. Subtle. It's a light apricot taste.
And they make a sour apricot, which is a kettle sour, which means it's not like done the old fashioned way with the barrels and all that. And it is just so good.
Yeah.
On a hot day, especially, that is a crushable beer. It's so good.
This one's pretty crushable too.
I mean, I feel like they're doing it right. We got this mixed grouping of these, and they're all really good hot weather beers. So kudos to Nicole and Dry Dock for their display here. I've got the citrus wheat. It's 5.2%. It's light.
Yeah.
I'm not typically a wheat first kind of beer drinker. It's one of my last ones I would pick, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
This one though, because it's so hot outside, this is just, it's going down way too easy.
When the time is right.
It's not overly bready. It does have a little bit of that kind of mouthfeel on the back of your tongue where it holds on, you know, if that makes sense. I'm not a beer connoisseur, so I don't know the right words to describe it, but that's how I would describe
that's
it.
That's good.
But it still is, I mean, it's going down real easy because it's just light and smooth. So I'm digging it. And Nico's actually sampling a third option. It's called the Dayboard Lager. And this is a pretty cool beer, mostly because it makes that sound.
Oh, yeah.
But also, it's a 110 calorie, three carb lager that is.
What's the percentage on that? 4.5? Is that right?
Yeah.
4.5.
And as Nico put it, I could be sitting poolside crushing these all day long.
He just needs a towel and some sunscreen.
Yep. If you guys can't see him, but he's actually just shirtless in his swimming trunks right now with his sunglasses on. So
with his feet in this kiddie pool.
Yeah, and he looks the most happy actually out of all of us.
This pool noodle, is unicorn.
Hey, this is a unicorn kids podcast. This is a family friendly. You can't talk about your noodle in front of everybody. Anyway, we got off the rails there.
Dry Dock though, Aurora, and you told me this today, Nick. I didn't realize, but they have North Dock.
Yeah.
And they have an 18-hole disc golf course.
Yeah, I found that out this morning. I didn't know that.
That is really cool.
Doing some research, and it's like you can start and end basically at the brewery. So you hole one and 18, I think, are close by there, and you obviously need something to drink while you're playing.
Duh. Hello. So,
I think that might have to be a travel show. Can we do a travel show? A separate
one? We need to. Next one.
Yeah.
It's been a minute.
We got
I think
it.
I can figure it out.
You'll be just fine. You know how to golf.
I'm athletic.
Yeah,
I'm
you're
fine.
Very athletic. You can
We're good.
We'll have a good time. You know how
do
to drink
you know
beer?
How? I do.
You know how to drink beer?
Do you know how to disc golf?
I can throw a frisbee.
Yeah.
But I see those dudes chuck.
Okay, I can't do it that good.
And then
well,
they have to go like crazy directions and I've seen some crazy shots.
Yeah.
It's kind of natural the way the discs are developed to do that on its own. So if, as long as you throw it hard enough.
And in the right direction.
Yeah, it'll do the natural fade or the natural, you know,
draw.
Whatever you call it. Yeah, call it draw.
If it's the same like as golf, yeah. I don't know.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that would be amazing.
And they have, but they have different ones. They have like a driver. Mm-hmm. And is it an iron that they call? Or mid-range. Mid-range, yeah. And a putter.
There's putters. There's approach putters, and then there's short-range putters.
Wow.
Yeah. It's real. I do this fairly regularly, and it's fun.
Okay. I need to get out there. It's been about probably 10 years. Let's go. Probably 10 years. Yeah.
How many discs are you losing, pal?
It's like having a bag of clubs, dude. You need everything.
A sack full of records.
Yeah.
So,
what are you doing with all those?
They're not, God,
you
like must be balls. Terrible.
You must be the worst. What do you have? 17 frisbees. You look, yeah, like a.
How many do you lose in a game?
Different clubs.
Different clubs. Yeah. Yep.
Did you not know that?
But I really like that as a concept, not knowing it was that different clubs. So that makes funny. Me happy.
Yeah, I had no clue.
You must be terrible. I'll tell you what, when we took Jane out, I let her use this regular ultimate frisbee disc because she can throw that further than she can throw those things. Because those take more technique. You can throw a frisbee. Frisbee's not like the easiest thing. You can throw that a little more freely, but the disc golf discs, you legitimately have to have a little bit of form to know how to get it to go far. Otherwise,
the
it's
wrist. Probably.
There's a lot of snap.
All right.
Yep.
I need to go disc golfing.
So we've changed this to disc golfing and house keys and Bruce keys now. I think that's the new name of the podcast, which I'm okay with, actually.
I have moving a lot forward. To learn on, yes, disc golf.
Discies. And then, actually, we could have a separate one called Discies and Whiskies. And that'll be... Stay tuned. It's coming soon.
All right. You might want to find an expert. I could be an expert on your whiskey.
Your
whiskey,
I'll be disc. Okay. That's perfect. Perfect.
Nice. All right. Well, should we jump into the stats?
I think we should.
We're doing a market update today. So July market update.
So all of the numbers are in for June. We're a little delayed. We apologize about that. But we do get the chance to share all the things that took place last month in June. So let's start off with our home price numbers. So for all residential, the median home price came in at $600,000. So that's a little bit of an increase from the month previous in May. It's staying kind of in that same zone, though, mm-hmm, I think we've found for the last, I don't know, 5-6 months.
Yeah.
I feel like it's been in that realm.
It went up a little bit, you know, with the spring market, but I feel like it's been pretty steady now.
Yeah.
Not, yep, much of an increase.
So breaking that down, detached homes, median home price for a single family home, $655,000. That's kind of straight lined across from May. Nothing changed there. And then attached, median price for attached homes was $420,000, which is actually down from May. Mm-hmm. That's nice to hear for folks that are out there looking to buy, especially those are often
the starting
a starter home.
Yeah,
absolutely. Otherwise, the median residential price for June was down almost 2% from last year.
Yeah,
which is kind of nice to see. Last year's June, though.
Last year's June was a huge... That was when the market really started... I don't want to say coming down, but it was. That was when the slowdown started to kind of happen.
Interest rates went from 3.5 to like 5.5 to 7 within, mm-hmm, a couple of months.
Right. That was the start of it.
Freaked out. So, mm-hmm, that's okay. I mean, it's,
yeah,
logical. So, anyway, what else you got? What are the numbers we got?
All right. So, average days in MLS for June was 23 days. Which was a 4.45% increase from May. And it was both 23 days on average for detached and attached homes. So 23 across the board.
Still not super long to be on the market.
No, not super long. But I mean, it's an average. So you have some homes that are going a little bit faster and then some that are sitting on the market for, you know, a couple months. And that's kind of been the norm lately. Things aren't flying off the market, which is nice.
Agreed.
Yeah.
It's a little more balance in our lives.
Right. There were 6,070 active listings at month's end. So that is up 16.11% from May's month's end of 5,228. Yep. So we had more inventory. We are up 0.21% from June of 2022, that's why I kind of found the numbers interesting, because that's when there was just so much that was left on the market. And that was kind of the start of it for last year, where we were actually going up in inventory.
That's kind of interesting to look back a year ago.
Yeah. And I was like pulling back the numbers. I was curious. So the amount of closed homes in June was 4,109, which is down 7% from May. So kind of starting to see, you know, the summer slow down. And down 24.91% from June of 2022.
So people were already under contract when things kind of hit the way they did, mm-hmm. and they were starting to wind down and still close in June. Exactly. That makes sense.
Yeah. There were 5,628 new listings in the month of June, so that's a 8.69% increase from May. So you can see that the inventory is still moving.
Which is good.
Yeah.
That's what we want.
Yeah. Average close-to-list price was 100.23% for residential homes, so it was closing above the list price on average, just by a little bit. And then interest rates are at 7.09 for a 30-year conventional loan.
I can't tell you how crazy it was. I'll get a weekly report from a lender, a good friend of ours, Michelle Beeson, mm-hmm. who's been on the podcast. And I got the weekly report. It would have been about a week and a half ago, I guess. And on that day, it said 30-year fixed. Because it obviously fluctuates multiple times a day. On that day, it said 30-year fixed. Conventional loan, 6%. And I was like, that's awesome. This week, 7 days later, I got it, and it said 30-year fixed, 7.25%. It went up 1.25 points over a week. So it's, yeah, there's been some wild fluctuations. And this number that we gave is the kind of the Mortgage News Daily is our source for that. That's probably the most consistent number.
Yeah, and it's consistent for us too. So you're going to get the same information from each month from the same place.
Yeah, because every lender is going to do things a little differently. But I just found that shocking that it was able to jump that much in that short time. It was giving me some flashbacks a little bit to last year. So it wasn't.
Well, that's why I made the note. It's important to just, if you're in the market and you're looking to buy a house, it's important to be in close contact with your lender so you know what you can afford.
And lock at the right time. You know, obviously no one can time it perfectly on purpose.
Right.
But it's a good thing to have that conversation. I agree with you, to make sure that you're not goofing around with, oh, is this the right time to lock? Maybe it's okay now, it's 7, you know. So it's just a good thing to stay very close to until you're in it.
Yep.
So speaking of people that are out there looking to buy, you know, if you are thinking you're ready, and that means having talked to that lender, that means having your agent on your side, that you're, you know, you guys have strategized about how you're going to go about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is the time to be tactful but quick, if that makes sense. So what I mean by that is you want to be careful about knowing which properties you're looking at, depending on your criteria, depending on your need, depending mm-hmm. on your motivation. But I think it's important to move a little quicker if you feel like the home's got what you need. And not because it's gonna be 100% guaranteed, it's crazy competitive. Because some areas are. Some homes are still moving within a couple of days. You know, mm-hmm. they go on the market, they're under contract in 2 days. Right. That is happening still.
Right.
It's happening less and less as the months go by in this year, which is nice. That's why we get that average of 23 days on the market.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's just really important to strike quickly when you feel like
you've
got
it. When
you
know you like it.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I say that because it's possible that if it's in a competitive situation, obviously you're not the only one looking at it. Mm-hmm. But on the other side, if you maybe have looked at a property that is, and I put this in kind of a back thought for one of my buyers recently, was let's look at homes that have been on the market for more than 30 days.
Yep.
So we can actually do that as search criteria, mm-hmm. and that allows you to look at things that maybe aren't having 400 million showings a week. You know, it's actually a little bit less competitive. Maybe eyes are off of it a little bit because it's been on the market, and you get the opportunity to not have to sweat it as much and not.
Right, you can go panic. In and make an offer that, you know, is reasonable, but you're not giving up so much.
Yeah. That's exactly right. I think I think that makes a big difference for certain people. I mean, obviously there are people that they have their criteria, they know what they want to do, and they have to just make sure they meet that. I have buyers that just closed last week that their criteria was Old Town Arvada. Walkable distance to Old Town Arvada. That does not provide a lot of options. I mean, we don't have a lot of things that are available on the market at any given time in this area. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's important to be patient with that. But this home that they ended up closing on and are picking up their keys today. It's walkable. And it was on the market for 160 days, 150 days, something like that. So it bounced.
Walk you later.
Yeah. can't tell you that. But yeah, I mean, I think that's important to have that kind of mindset a little bit. And then there will still be competitive areas out there. I think that's the other thing that you have to keep in mind too, that a home comes on the market on Thursday, there's a chance that it gets 35 to 40 showings in that first few days, and it gets 5 or 6 offers in there. You are competing. So I think it's important to kind of keep that in your mind too, of if I have to compete, I have to know what my limits are. So talking with my lender. Yeah. And then,
and strategize. Strategy is going to be different on a house that's, you know, moving fast and then a house that's not.
Absolutely.
That's, you know, you can come in under a list on a house that's been on the market for 130 days. But if it has only just been on the market for the weekend and there are other people interested, you just got to be aware of that. Right?
Absolutely. So I think it's kind of a kudos to those ones that are moving quick, that are being competitive. It's a kudos to those listing agents and the sellers that they're aware of what makes a house sell. It's marketing and it's price. Mm-hmm. So if they're getting a lot of eyes on it, it's because they priced it right and they have good photos taken, they've staged it well, whatever mm-hmm. it is, it's drawing attention.
Yeah.
And so that I think there's something to be said for that.
Definitely. It's a big deal. It's important to pick a good agent.
Yeah, absolutely. So how about on the sell side?
On the sell side. So kind of like we were talking about, bidding wars are down considerably in June. With the close to list price ratio, you can kind of see that at 100.23. In May, it was 100.48, so quite a bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I do think that sellers are more aware of the market shift, just with the interest rates and whatnot. I think they know that they're not seeing as many, you know, bidding wars, like we said. But also, it's just important to be aware of the fact that, you know, when you're getting offers, they're not really, buyers are kind of getting back some of their rights that they normally have in a contract buy and sell. So they're right for the inspection, they're right for the appraisal. And so since they're not giving those away, as far as like waiving inspection objections or adding appraisal gaps, just know that, you know, there's going to be some negotiations that are going to happen, basically.
And that's all part of that strategy,
it's,
too.
It's part of the strategy. It's part of the process.
Yep.
I think it's a good thing. Like, if there's things that are wrong with the house, then yes, the buyers should ask for that. But don't get carried away, right?
Yeah, and as a seller, have that conversation with your listing mm-hmm. agent. Or listing agent, have that conversation with your seller, you know? It's, here's how it could play out.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's important.
Exactly. Last thing I just wanted to note, if you are thinking to sell in the next year or so or coming up, just be smart. Talk to your agent and see what types of investments or upgrades may or may not be good to do before you list it. Just because you want to be able to get the most bang for your buck. And so sometimes doing things like painting and carpet, new carpet, like that's really helpful. But maybe not a whole kitchen remodel is going to get you back what you put into that.
Yeah, and it's really important to at least have a feel for what those dollars
mm-hmm.
look like. I have to share this.
Yes.
We have a client right now, Dad and I do, that they've already moved into their new home, and they're getting ready to sell their old home.
Yeah.
And their old home is an older 60s, you know, brick ranch with a walkout basement. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little dated, but they had, I don't know, a decade ago, they had some shifting that happened in that they had repaired with the foundation.
Okay.
And everything was shored up with the foundation, but they never fixed the exterior with the brick.
Oh, God.
So the brick has that separation happening. And to do that work would cost a little money.
Mm-hmm.
However, the return on that work that would be done would be so much higher than what the cost of the work is.
Okay.
And it's just one of those moments to say, this is probably a good idea before you sell. Every seller is going to be different about what their motivation is. Right. I want to sell it quick, or I want to sell it for the top dollar. Yeah. Quick and top dollar don't always coincide. Sometimes right. they do. But in this good case, point. If they want top dollar, that work needs to be done. If they want to sell it quick, put it out there as is and hope that somebody comes in with a vision or can see the possibilities kind of thing. Because there's nothing wrong with the foundation but yeah.
just have those reports on
it. That cracked brick scares a lot of people away. Yeah. So yeah. anyway, so that was, it was just kind of, when I read that in your notes, I was like, man, that's exactly what that is. Mm-hmm. Is the investment worth it or not? In this case, I think it is.
Yeah.
Because it could mean $100,000 or more that we can list it for above what we're talking about now. So it just kind of depends on where their comfort level lies.
Yeah.
That.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
All kinds of interesting stuff. So market is continuing to be ever-changing. Mm-hmm. I think it's a good way to look at it. So yeah. we'll always give you those updates every single month. I think that's the fun part about it, though, is that mm-hmm. it's never the same twice.
Yeah.
You kind of have to adapt with it. As always, we appreciate y'all listening. We appreciate, if you're a first-time listener, thank you for finding us. And thank you to Dry Dock for some epically delicious beers. Mm-hmm. Perfect beers for a hot day. And then, as always, if you are a new listener, we have our podcast on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts. So if you have not already, subscribe, please click the button where you say it's something I want every single week. And then our YouTube channel's out there as well, so like and subscribe on there. And yeah, please give us feedback. We always appreciate that too. We never want to shy away from that. Our Instagram thingies have shown up here at some point in areas where my jazz fingers are. So please reach out to us directly if you guys want to talk. We'd love to. And beyond that, we'll see you guys on the next one. Cheers.
Cheers.
Clink. Yay.